Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk to the Navy League about the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, learn about Fishing for Life program, check in with the state's Command Sergeant Major for the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here, at home, in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities, to our Army National Guard soldiers stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partner. As a community partner, the Minnesota National Guard is a responsible steward of taxpayer dollars. And in fiscal year 2017, the Minnesota National Guard contributed more than $500 million to the Minnesota economy. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter-drug program. And in our role as an emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, or wildfires. When I'm in the community, people often stop me to offer me a handshake and thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude. But I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Brian Scon, who is the long-serving president of the Minnesota Navy League, chair of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul Commissioning Committee, and a proud Navy parent. Brian, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, I need to correct one thing. Bill James, a longtime friend of mine and my former vice president, took over a year ago as president. So now I'm vice president of events, but still chair of the commissioning committee.
All right. Well, we met you some years ago when we went to the commissioning of the USS Minnesota, a nuclear-powered attack submarine out in Norfolk, Virginia. That was a pretty exciting trip. How's the USS Minnesota doing?
The USS Minnesota is on her third commanding officer. And they are doing an outstanding job serving our country right now.
Glad to have her in the fleet. And from what we heard from the Secretary of the Navy when we were out there, it's one of the most powerful weapon systems in the world. And we're doing well. We're doing pretty good control of all the oceans.
Well, I am aware that they did receive some recent upgrades that make them more lethal than they've ever been.
Even better, even better. Brian, I want to talk just briefly about the Minnesota Navy League. Can you tell us about the mission?
The mission of the Navy League is to support our sea services, which include the Coast Guard, Marine Corps, and Navy, all rolled up. Like, for example, we've adopted the Alder, the Coast Guard cutter up in Duluth, and we have adopted, of course, USS Minnesota, and we are adopting the new warship that is Minneapolis-St. Paul. We also support a Naval Sea Cadet program. In the past, we've been able to provide some funding for their summer trainings. And then we've also worked with other organizations, including the Minneapolis School Districts on their STEM programs, et cetera. The military in particular, really everything's high tech now, and they really support that science, technology, engineering, and math education process.
So, Brian, we went through bringing a ship to life with you when we watched the USS Minnesota come to life, and there's a new ship that's being built, the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. Can you walk us through those three steps to bringing a ship to life before it's accepted by the United States Navy?
Absolutely. I've had the privilege of going to the first two ceremonies and witnessing history. The first ceremony is what they call the keel authentication ceremony, and that's where the ship's sponsor, Jody Green, who is a deputy undersecretary of the Navy, she's, in effect, an executive in the Department of the Navy, wrote her initials or had them welded on a plate. That plate then will be welded on the ship once it's a little further down the construction process. So that's keel authentication, and that happened February 22nd of 2018. The second ceremony is the christening ceremony that just happened, and that made multiple media. It's online, which is the launch, which is the champagne bottle hitting against the hull. And it effectively is the time, even though we knew it was named Minneapolis-St. Paul, that's the official naming of the ship when the ship sponsor does that.
And Brian, we're going to take a little break right there because you were over at that and you brought back some audio. And we hear the voice of the ship sponsor at the christening ceremony. And we want to play that for you right now.
Are you ready to christen this great vessel? For the United States of America, I christen thee Minneapolis St. Paul. May God bless this ship and all who sail in her.
And Brian, we'll be posting a video that shows that they, as soon as she breaks that bottle, then they launch the ship. And they launch it sideways, and it's pretty exciting, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It's phenomenal that they can launch it sideways into the river, but the river is so narrow there in Marionette, Wisconsin. It empties into the Lake Michigan. The river's so narrow that if it was to go to the traditional way, it would hit the other side of the river.
Now, Brian, I want you to explain the rest of the process, but between now and the commissioning, which you're going to explain in a second, they actually take it out on the lake, and they refer to that as sea trials?
Yeah, they do. They do builder's trials is the official word, but it is sea trials, traditionally known. But once right now the ship is pretty much a shell, and everything that the construction process now is all technology. It's literally building out the systems, literally the weapon systems, all the combat systems, the navigation systems. The weapon systems are all being placed over the next year. Radar, all the intelligence gathering. That's what the next step is.
And then following that, we're going to have a commissioning ceremony?
The commissioning ceremony is when she gets her United States ship designation for the first time. There are members, Bill James, our president, and others have actively lobbied the Secretary of the Navy to have that commissioning ceremony in the Port of Duluth. This is new news. I just found out a couple days ago that the Navy itself sent an officer up for a site visit to the Port of Duluth. So that's a really good sign. But the Navy will not announce that until a commanding officer is named, because it's tradition for the commanding officer to name the commissioning port.
So once it gets through all these trials and it's ready to go, you have a commissioning ceremony, it's accepted into the fleet, and then off she goes.
And then she will be based in Naval Station Mayport, Florida.
Hey, Brian, we just got a couple minutes left in this segment. Can you tell us what, in English, in layman's terms now, not in Navy speak, what are the capabilities of this ship?
Well, what's most interesting to me is it's really a 387-foot-long jet boat. They don't use traditional screws. It has two water jets, and the water jets not only provide propulsion, but they provide steerage. So in a traditional Navy warship, it's propellers or screws and rudders. In this case, those water jets do both.
And what size is this boat, and how fast can it go, and what's it used for?
Well, it's called a littoral combat ship, and littoral means near shore. So it's designed to get up there where the heavier destroyers and the cruisers and the carriers cannot go. So this thing is near shore. It's designed to really show the flag. It's designed to show some power, and it's designed it will actually fly manned and unmanned aircraft off its flight deck. There's a rather large hangar deck on the back as well.
So I understand this ship is 387 feet long.
387 feet long. What's interesting is it draws only about 15 feet of water, where most at 4,000 tons, where most ships of that type will draw 25 to 30 feet of water.
And she's fast. She can move.
And she's fast and she can move. The only challenge with that is if she goes classified top speed, she uses gas pretty fast.
So you don't want to stay at that top speed too long.
No. The actual cruising speed is probably closer to 15 to 20 knots.
All right. Brian, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that class of warship and what its mission would be, or a typical mission. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've studied this for a while now, so you know that. We're speaking with Brian Skahn, who is the vice president of the Minnesota Navy League, and we've been talking about the christening of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Brian Skahn today, who's the Vice President of the Minnesota Navy League, and we've been discussing bringing a ship to life, specifically bringing the USS Minneapolis St. Paul to life. And Brian, you must be pretty excited. You went to the keel authentication. You went to the christening. You've been watching this ship come to life for a couple of years now, and hopefully sometime next year we can have a commissioning up in Duluth. And can you tell us once again, what does that mean, the commissioning?
Well, the commissioning means she receives her United States ship, or USS is what's commonly known, designation for the first time. She is then actually a deployable battle asset.
Yeah, and this particular version of this ship is made to sail in close to shore.
Well, she is considered a multi-mission warship. She will have modules that will do intelligence gathering, anti-submarine warfare, direct combat. She will be probably deployed in areas that I would call low threat areas.
So that means that ship can be fitted out for different types of missions.
Absolutely.
That the Navy wants to send her on.
Right. And they want to send them in. There's one deployed right now, the Montgomery in the Philippines. And in the that would be in the 7th Fleet area of operations. And they would also be there's one deployed previously based out of Singapore, and that has been since brought home. But so there's been a real sense of certain areas of the world where they're going to put these low-end combatants and keep the destroyers, the cruisers, the carriers closer to the primary adversaries that you would see in the media.
So when the USS Minneapolis St. Paul is commissioned and Navy accepts her, what would be a typical mission for a ship of this type?
Well, as we were just talking about, Singapore would be a great spot for them to be home ported. And at one point, we think some will be. The Navy just hasn't announced when. But I would say the Mediterranean. I would say even in the Persian Gulf area, where the straits are narrow, the oceans are shallow. And simply keeping an eye on our adversaries. So it's hard to say specifically where they're going to put them all, but in the Western Pacific or Eastern Pacific and around the Singapore area, the Indonesia area would be a low end threat area that we still need to have presence.
So what would be the typical useful life for a ship of this category?
Well, they're going to be in commission for 25 years.
And then they get retrofit and go back out like some of the carriers used to?
Or no, that would be the end of their life, yeah.
They'll be done, right.
But I would like to say, too, that in the littoral combat ship, there's going to be approximately 35 of them, but they will be of two classes. One is built in Wisconsin, as we know, the Freedom class, which is a monohull. The second class is a trimaran built out of Austell in Mobile, Alabama. And that is often seen as a stealth ship. Not really, but I would say this. There isn't a ship in the Navy that is built with a right angle. So they're designed to have radar signatures drop down or drop up rather than report back. So a ship 400 foot long like the trimaran or the 400 foot long monohull comes back as a radar report of the size of a speedboat.
Now, Brian, this isn't the first ship that's been named USS Minneapolis St. Paul, is it?
No, the last one was a fast attack submarine, I would say analogous to USS Minnesota. The Minneapolis St. Paul commissioned in 1984 was what we call a 688 boat, which is a Los Angeles class submarine, which did carry vertical launch tubes with Tomahawks and was in commission until 2008.
We're speaking with Brian Skahn, Vice President of the Minnesota Navy League, and we've been talking about the christening of the USS Minneapolis St. Paul on Minnesota Military Radio. Brian, before we run out of time, I understand there's a couple of carrier battle groups deployed out there. What's going on in Big Navy? A lot of work to do these days.
Well, I would say I would like to let our listeners know about Big Navy. Big Navy is constantly on the move. Right now, there are two carrier battle groups. One, as you can hear from the media, is in the Persian Gulf area, not in the Persian Gulf, but outside of it. And that's the Abraham Lincoln and its associated ships. There's also the USS Ronald Reagan, which is based out of Yokosuka, Japan, and it's forward deployed, permanently forward deployed, and it's in the 7th Fleet area. And that can be a large area, but it typically monitors North Korea, China, Chinese naval activity. There's been some issues with islands that the Chinese have either made or taken over.
So those two ships are aircraft carriers that lead the battle group. But how many other ships typically are with them when they go out? They have to have supply ships. I assume they have some submarines.
Well, we don't talk about
the
submarine.
About that,
we don't know about that. But yes, a typical carrier battle group has anywhere from 3 to 5 destroyers, Arleigh Burke destroyers, as well as a single cruiser to act as the kind of the strike group head where the admiral is based on. There are typically submarines that are in the area, as well as they bring multiple supply ships with them.
So when we send a battle group somewhere, that's a lot of ships, a lot of sailors, and it's a big movement.
It's a big movement. We also have what one of my favorite ships in the Navy is the big deck amphibious assault ship. We have 9 of them, and they carry 900 sailors. They carry 2,000 Marines, and they carry either the Harrier jump jet or the new F-35 Lightning.
And Brian, we can't let you go in the studio here without talking a little bit. You didn't serve in the military, but you have 2 children that are in the Navy, and you can talk about the Navy better than some of the sailors that I've known. Tell us about your children. How are they doing? Where are they serving?
Well, they're doing awesome. My son, Cameron, who's 26 years old, served on is currently assigned to USS John C. Stennis. And as I just mentioned, there are 2 carrier battle groups out there. They relieved USS John C. Stennis. John C. Stennis left Seattle in the Seattle area for a around the world tour. They're doing a home port change. They're the next carrier to get a 4-year overhaul. So they're now in Norfolk, Virginia. So my son went through all the 7th Fleet. They did go into the Persian Gulf. They did see very visible activity from the Iranians. I can say that. And then they were in there twice, and then now they're home ported in Norfolk. And so he's excited to be back. It's quite a different city from the Seattle area with mountains to Norfolk, which is flat. Now, our daughter is on a back-to-back deployment. She actually was on USS Harry S. Truman last year, another aircraft carrier that deployed last year. And she moved over to be a ship's navigation, She's now on a destroyer in the 5th Fleet, and everything you hear in the media from Iran, she's part of the Lincoln Carrier Strike Group on a destroyer. And so she's responsible for ship's navigation, and she's just 21 years old.
And she was driving that aircraft carrier about a year ago, wasn't she?
Both our daughter and our son have been driving aircraft carriers for a significant amount of time.
And, at a young age.
At a young age, and they both put my car in the same snowbank.
Brian, we just got a couple of minutes left, but we're friends on Facebook, and I see some of your posts and from your children. They joined the Navy, and they really are seeing the world, aren't they?
They have been in Greece, Thailand, Singapore, London, Spain, Portugal, and Egypt. It's amazing what they have seen. They've been in Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. They literally get to see. I think when they're done with the Navy, they're going to be so well-rounded because of their international experiences.
Proud Navy father. We can see it all over you. Brian, I want to come back to the Minnesota Navy League. You are chair of the commissioning committee for the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. That's coming up next year. You've got a lot of work to do there. How can our listeners help support that commissioning event?
Well, in all honesty, our budget for the event is $400,000. And we'd welcome you taking a look at our website at lcs21.org. Again, lcs21.org. And keeping up with us, we are looking for corporate sponsors to handle all the associated costs. And the key thing about the commissioning is if it's in Duluth, we've opened it up to thousands of Minnesotans who can attend and witness history. If it was elsewhere, it would be just a few hundred that could travel. We have the opportunity to put as many as 10,000 people in that that Duluth Area Convention Center basin.
Brian, wherever that commissioning is, we want to be there with you. We
Absolutely.
Want to follow it, and we'd like to have you back on the show to give us updates on how that's going. And we hope that all our listeners out there, especially all our Navy veterans in Minnesota, give us that website one more time.
LCS21.org.
All right, Brian, hope everything goes well for the Navy League and both of your Navy children. And thanks for joining us today to give us updates on the USS Minnesota and the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Outstanding. Thank you, Tom.
This is Brian Skahn from the Minnesota Navy League on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Fishing for Life program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
This week, families and communities celebrate independence of our country and the freedoms we enjoy as we celebrate the 4th of July. The signers of the Declaration of Independence did not take their signatures lightly. Here we are, hundreds of years later, with the same purpose and promise that guides our country. At your 4th of July celebrations, I encourage you to take a moment to look back at the courage and wisdom of our founding fathers and be renewed in the shared commitment to those core values that brought our nation to life back then. This is still what guides us today. Take a few minutes to remember what the 4th of July is about and to remind ourselves how fortunate we are to be Americans. Remember that freedom is not free and have a happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to talk in this segment about Fishing for Life, and joining me now is Jim Hale, a program manager from Fishing for Life. Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you. This is a joy for me to be here.
Jim, I understand you're a fellow Vietnam veteran. Can you tell us about your service?
Well, 1968, I spent the year in Vietnam at Cu Chi, 25th Infantry Division. Kind of interesting thing is, when I left, my oldest daughter was 30 days old. And I went to Vietnam, and the good Lord brought me through that. And I guess that's why I have a heart for the whole military mission that I've been on for many years. So.
And I understand you've got some, your daughter and your grandson both currently serve.
Well, that little baby grew up to be a big girl and became a Marine many years ago. And as they say, Semper Fi, she still is a Marine. But and then her oldest son, my grandson, is a current Marine. And in my family, I had my uncle and my dad. We're all Army guys. So I believe the military has been an important part of my family, and I believe the country needs us, and I really appreciate all the military people. I appreciate them.
Well, a proud father and a proud grandfather, thanks for joining us today. Now, Jim, you're a program manager with Fishing for Life. How did you get to Fishing for Life, and what is Fishing for Life?
Well, Fishing for Life was founded by Tom Goodrich many years ago and happened to meet him many years ago and help him develop some of the programming. And Fishing for Life is a ministry. It's an agency that helps families and kids enjoy fishing outings of all kinds. Over the years, there's been many outings in the metro area and throughout the state focusing on kids and their families and have fish fries afterwards. And, of course, there's been many, many military-focused outings as well. And I've helped Tom over the years with different things as I was also in my own business. But he's a wonderful guy, and that ministry has been proven a success and helped a lot of people over the last 20 years.
So information can be found at fishingforlife.org. And Jim, can you tell us, Fishing for Life, it says something in the name. You know, it sounds like the old story about feed them a fish, they feed them a meal, teach them how to fish, they can feed themselves for the rest of their life.
Well, as my grandkids would tell you, I got a lot of different sayings, but one of them is character before catching. And that sort of caught on in Fishing for Life, and Tom's just a neat man of character, was a military man for many years, just a young guy. But part of what he wanted to do and what he knew I was part of is helping young people at, of course, any age, learn the character values of enjoying the outdoors with a special friend or family member and enjoying the fishing process as well as catching. So I think the character issues, values, and principles, it happens to be a Christian organization, but there's many people of many different faiths and that certainly can enjoy all of our outings. But those values and those character issues are part of a life value system beyond just catching fish.
We're speaking with Jim Hale, a program manager for Fishing for Life on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, I would guess that you teach the young people how to respect the sport, to only keep as many fish as you want to eat, catch and release, all of those things that can protect fishing for the next generation and future generations.
No, absolutely. Again, the fishing part of it is real. I mean, all of our outings have volunteer guides mentors, if you will, that will help the youth learn how to catch fish, what kind of lures and what kind of bait to use. And then, yes, if it's appropriate to release the fish appropriately, keep fish to eat. So all of those things are part of a value system of good fishing. But also while you're sitting in that boat, how are we going to talk? How are we going to smell? How are we going to look at each other? What kind of conversation are we going to have about whether it be school or parents maybe or kids or what's important to help grow some character while we're also catching some fish? That's all part of the whole mission of both the family members, the kids, the guides, and all of Fishing for Life's mission from the beginning.
And maybe even some of that praying for a bite so you can catch a fish.
Prayer works, you know.
I can remember some of the sayings, fishy, fishy in the lake, coming right upon my bait, some of those things. But they used to work. I bet they still do.
Yes, sir. You got to cast, though.
Oh, you got to cast. Got to keep working at it. Now, Jim, I know that Fishing for Life is open to veterans, non-veterans, everybody, but Fishing for Life has been involved in many veteran and military events over the years. Can you tell us about just a few? I think we've talked about your winter ice fishing program out at Medicine Lake a few times.
Yes, that's Holes for Heroes, and that's a wonderful event on Medicine Lake. Many veterans come with their families. There's actually fishing going on and contests. They do the same thing on White Bear Lake. Over the year, this summer, we'll have a major outing for the Gold Star families down at Ironwood Springs Ranch, a wonderful opportunity. There's some other Wounded Warrior outing way up north. So I guess it's really important for any families, but certainly the veterans' families, to contact Fishing for Life and find out more about these really special focused outings where the camaraderie and the discussions and things come about through a military background as well. But there's certainly many other outings, events, where there's non-military, and anybody can be part of that.
So for all our listeners there, if you want to find out about some of the events for 2019, just go to the website, which is fishingforlife.org, and click on 2019 events. And, Jim, I'm looking at the list of all these events, and you got a lot of stuff coming up, July, August, September, all the way through December. A lot of events coming up this summer.
Well, just about, you know, every week there's something going on. As you look in July right there, you'll see the next week there's going to be things happening with kids at Medicine Lake and other places. So Fishing for Life is about a year-round part of a lifestyle. And I mean that sincerely, is that many of the families who have been part of Fishing for Life over the years continue to go on outings and events because of the healthy, productive, fun times that it is. So anyone can go to any event or all or whatever. It's just a matter of signing up in many cases. And they have even contests in some of the fishing. A week or so ago, we had a big event on Lake Minnetonka for the Special Army birthday. What a great day that was. Kids caught a lot of fish. They're up with fishing with guides. So there's always some kind of special theme to all the things that we do. And the website has a lot of that information.
Once again, that's fishingforlife.org. And Jim, I'm just going to pick a couple of these off of here. July 12th, you've got an event called REEL, R-E-E-L, Real Girls Fish Event at Bald Eagle Lake. As you say, there's a theme that must be for the ladies. The young ladies come out and fish. And then you've got events coming up all over the place. You've got August 5th through the 9th, Hughes Seas Fish Camp, Ironwood Springs Christian Ranch. Of course, that says that's full, so can't get into that one, but there's a lot of events all through September. Got one called Marathon Man, September 11th. What's that, Jim?
That's a kind of exciting where an individual that we know fishes for 24 hours at a location that we'll be announcing soon for as many fish as he can catch in 24 hours. And it's just really fun. And they're all sunfish or little crappies or whatever, but it just gets everybody excited, and it's a fundraising event, and people can learn more about that too.
Jim, we just got about a minute left, but I want to touch on a couple more events throughout the year. October 30th, Muskie Mayhem Event. That sounds like it could be fun.
Well, again, the muskie is the king of some for many of us who love fishing, and whether it's a youth or an adult, going after a muskie is a big deal. So, again, that Muskie Mayhem is a special event where, again, most of these we would like people to sign up so we know who's coming and match them up with guides. We have a lot of fishing gear. Most of the time there's no cost to the individuals, but sometimes there may be. So I just want to make sure people would go to the website.
Jim, just about 30 seconds left in this segment, but Veterans Day, November 11th, you've got an event as well.
Well, back to the theme for me personally is to be involved in veterans-related activities. So I'll tell you more about that a little later, too.
All right, Jim, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk about you were the recipient. Fishing for Life was the recipient of a grant from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and some veterans programs for veterans' kids. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking with Jim Hale from Fishing for Life. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Jim Hale today, fellow Vietnam veteran, fishing enthusiast, and a program manager for Fishing for Life. And we're talking about all the events that Fishing for Life puts on. If you go to fishingforlife.org, there's a whole calendar of events under 2019 events. Take a look at those and dig in. Find one you like and have at it. And Jim, we want to talk in this segment about Fishing for Life was a recipient of a special grant from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is really exciting and something we're really grateful for. It's the Department of Veteran Affairs special program initiative called Support Our Troops. Many other agencies got a grant, but we got a major grant, and it's focused on helping veteran families with kids who would like to go fishing with a special trained guide, somebody that I'm going to help coach and train. Again, I talked about the idea of character before catching, and it's really a mentoring program. So we're excited about launching this, and I've been asked by Tom Goodrich to be the point man in bringing this out.
So you can find that at fishingforlifes.org. It's called Next Gen Kid, Veterans Kids Programs. And Jim, can you tell us, how's this going to work? Who's going to be eligible, and are they going to be able to go to the website and apply? How's this all going to work? Can you walk us through it?
The main thing is that it is a special focus now for veterans' families. That means mom and dad are a guardian. Our veterans have served, are serving. I would want to know that they have a DD-214. That's a separation paper. Just because the Department of Veteran Affairs really wants us to approach this in an appropriate way. So the veterans' families would have young kids, maybe 7 to 17, that range, that would like fishing. There'd be no cost to the parents. They'd meet with me. We talk about this. I'd assure them there's an application form, that there's all kinds of information we do need to know. It's a very unique kind of program, and I think this would be special win-win for the kids and the family. And the second part of that is that the guide, who would be the mentor guide for the next year, actually, of helping this youth catch some fish, go on outings, deal with some character and life skills issues, that guide is going to be coached and trained and vetted by me and Fishing for Life staff to be the kind of man or woman that can really help this kid and the family. So we're really excited about that. This can be a overall thing for the families, the community, and our whole country as we serve the military.
So, Jim, information is available at fishingforlife.org. And if you're a family with children, a veteran's family with children, and want to contact him, you can contact him at jim@fishingforlife.org. And also, if you're a qualified guide, you can also reach out to fishingforlife.org or use your email address once again, jim@fishingforlife.org. How many kids is this going to fund? How many kids are you going to be able to take, do you think? Do you have an estimate?
Well, again, I'm kind of one of these guys that's one in a row is awesome. But I think, you know, if we get 10, 12 kids, 10, 12 guides, thanks, Tom, for mentioning my email address, because I'm ready to talk. I'll go visit people. I love to share the whole message of Fishing Life. But I think this is a very unique opportunity, and I'll be glad to come out to anybody's home or meet in an appropriate place, wherever it takes place, to talk about the families and the guides. You know what? I talked to a number of people this last week, said, well, I haven't been in the military. And I said, that's okay. You want to serve? Here's a mission. Here's a mission. You become a guide, man or woman. I'll help coach you, train you. You be with a veteran's kid for a year. What do you think will happen? Awesome. Awesome service.
Good things will happen. So you're recruiting guides.
Yes.
And you're also looking for these kids, veterans,
yeah,
kids to participate in the program. You're available to go out to speak to veterans organizations about the program. They can find information at fishingforlife.org, or they can contact you at Jim at fishingforlife.org. And Jim, we got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts? Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, I was blessed to have my grandpas and my dad, and an uncle and a special cousin from when I was a little guy. I'd watch them come home with the ducks and the fish and whatever, and then it started happening. And all my life, fishing and hunting's been an important part of my life, and I feel God has called me to just be a guide myself to help some more people enjoy what I did.
Well, Jim, I hope you get to do this for many years to come, but it's been a few years since we got back from Vietnam. Let's see how many years we can keep doing this.
Amen.
And you can contact Jim once again at jim@fishingforlife.org, and you can find all about their 2019 events at fishingforlife.org. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Boy, thank you so much.
This is Jim Hale, Program Manager with Fishing for Life. Once again, fishingforlife.org. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Worthen. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. It's great to be with you again.
Sergeant Major, it's summertime's finally here, and looking forward to some great things. We were up at Camp Ripley a week or so ago and did a great show with the general from up there. And one of the things I hear your soldiers talking about is there's apparently a new Army combat fitness test. There seems to be a little bit of apprehension about it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Starting off, there's a lot of apprehension about something new. You know, most people are resistant to change. However, as I've gotten out and been able to talk to our soldiers who have actually participated in the new Army Combat Fitness Test, what we found is there's actually a lot of excitement about it. Soldiers feel like it's not necessarily easier, but it's a better all-around test, a better comprehensive test for them. So there's some excitement in that regard. And you know what? Like I said, it is something new, but I think that the six particular events, the six physical test events, are going to be really, really good addition to determining the abilities and the capabilities of our soldiers.
Sergeant Major, I understand you had a soldier fitness camp from June 21st to July 2nd. Did those soldiers get a chance to take a look at this new fitness test and understand it?
Yeah, they sure did, Tom. We actually took the opportunity to send one of our soldiers, who's our project officer, to help us bring the ACFT, the Army Combat Fitness Test, into Minnesota. He went up there and gave them a demonstration of what all of the different events entail, allowed the soldiers obviously to see it and get some hands-on. And, you know, it was just a good eye-opener for that set of soldiers, that unique group of soldiers, to see what's coming. And I think it provided some motivation, too. Like I said before, a lot of people are getting excited about what this new test is bringing.
So they're feeling a little better about it after they had that introduction.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And, you know, that message will continue to filter across our formation. And the Adjutant General and I took an opportunity to record a video that we posted out on our website, just kind of explaining what's coming, just to tell people that, you know, don't worry, we're going to help you along the way. We're not just going to snap our fingers and make this thing happen. But at the end of the day, the real takeaway is that this is going to be a soldier's responsibility. Their individual efforts are going to make sure that they can take this test and pass it. And our mantra, Tom, is don't freak out, work out.
I'm sure you'll get them through it, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, as I talked earlier, summer's finally here. We're on a holiday weekend, the July 4th holiday weekend. People are traveling to the lake, maybe stopping to see the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley. The weather's getting hot. And people are having fun outside, but you want everyone in Minnesota to be careful.
Yeah, of course. You know, my immediate concern naturally is for our soldiers and our airmen. However, you know, all of our citizens in Minnesota and throughout the country just need to make sure that throughout this season, you know, the excitement of, you know, the warmer weather that we finally have gotten here in Minnesota, to just not get lackadaisical with, you know, their attitude and in the things that they're doing. So what we're preaching here is a course, hot weather, so maintain the ability to continue drinking water because we don't want heat injuries. But more importantly, Tom, is to make sure that people are making educated and smart decisions. You know, 4th of July, a great time to celebrate, great celebrations throughout the summer. But whether it's on the road or in the water. Drinking and driving is just, it's a bad decision to make. So we do want to make sure our soldiers, our airmen, our citizens are making smart, educated decisions.
Sergeant Major, sounds like situational awareness to me. Be aware of what you are and what you have to do and be careful out there.
Yeah, I agree, and always have a plan. You know, that's the thing. You know, make a plan and stick to your plan. It's not worth taking that chance.
Sergeant Major, just got a few seconds left. Understand you're going to be traveling again.
Yeah, I get the opportunity to head over to Croatia. I'm going to spend some time with some of our senior leaders over there and develop some training opportunities for senior non-commissioned officers inside the Minnesota National Guard. So I look forward to doing that and creating additional opportunities for our soldiers and our airmen.
Sergeant Major, travel safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you when you get back. I think you're coming down to the studio for about a half a show in a few weeks.
I sure am. I'm looking forward to that opportunity, and I look forward to my travels and, of course, seeing you when I get back. So, Tom, have a great 4th of July, and stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one mention today. The Lakeville, Minnesota veterans are inviting you to celebrate 100 years of veteran community service. Dates are July 8th through July 14th in Lakeville, Minnesota. It includes a Vietnam War Memorial replica, military museum displays, tactical gear, and live combat demonstrations. For more information, visit lakevilleveterans.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Brian Scon from the Navy League, Jim Hale from Fishing for Life, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we record live from the Garrison, Minnesota VFW on Thursday at noon. Come join us for lunch and the show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.